Blog Talk Radio.
Faith Class Radio, a syndication of Urban Glory Campaigns. Growing Faith, Growing God. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based organization founded by Reverend Levone Brelin with a global vision to reach the world that all may experience the glory of God. Visit us online at www.urbangloricampaigns.wordpress.com.
Good evening. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and are glad. I want to talk tonight about redemptive innovation. Redemptive innovation. I think we'll have a delightful study tonight. I want to get confirmation from our person that we are ready to go on, and I'm going to interrupt our normally formal introduction and get into the Word. This year we have a great strategy of study, and we are studying on the teaching redemption. And in that particular study, we're going to indulge tonight and focus on one book of the Bible, book of Colossians, the book of Colossians. And through there, I believe we're going to crack some greater comprehensions in the spirit and go further in the insight of the Word. Let's pray and get started. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, knowing that this is the day that you have made. We rejoice and are glad. We thank you for another opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. It is the authority of your Word that gives me confidence to make boldly known the mysteries of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do lean and depend on the Holy Spirit as educator and guide to give me clear articulation of speech and the liberation of thought. Holy Spirit, I say, have your way. Do what only you can do. Anoint your people to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. And Father, in everything that shall be accomplished and revealed, you be glorified. It's to you that we give you all praise, honor, and glory for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Redemptive innovation. What initiated the process that kept Christ succinct in his steadfastness to redeeming the world from their sin? And redemption ultimately prevents God's original platform to not only the believers but to the world to conform to his nature and his ways, and so that the fulfillment of all things can consist in that. But what gave Jesus that ambition? I'm reminded of the church, the address to the church of Philippi, where Paul had admonished them to let this mind be in them which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form and the fashion of a man. He humbled himself, therefore God so highly exalted him and gave him the name that was above their name, that also he looked beyond the Bible says he looked beyond the faults and despised the shame, and for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. What was that ambition? And that is supposed to be to the believer our commitment and our inspiration to be steadfast and unmovable, yet abounded in God's word. Because we know that at the end of the day, when we go through the cares of life with the character and the consistency and the courage and the commitment and the convictions of Christ, we will reap those rewards which he died for. And thus bringing us to this particular teaching entitled Redemptive Innovation. Innovation is an awakening and a discovering and the development of new values through solutions to meet new needs and address unarticulated needs and abolish old needs by adding value in new ways. And I believe by the Spirit of God, as we study the ancient texts of Scripture and look at it from new lenses of perspectives through the perspective of relevance, through the perspective of revelatory knowledge, revelation knowledge, and through the perspective of a righteous conscience, we will awaken to God's new way. And of course, there's nothing new under the sun, but there's nothing here that also shall not be made manifest. And everything that has been made manifest is manifest by the light. So as we look into the law of God's word and we examine and study how the scripture has been the bedrock of our solutions, as we begin to hone in and focus on this as it pertains to redemption, I believe by the Spirit of God it's going to awaken a new awareness within believers from the ancient text. It's going to address those the solutions that we have in the values of the virtues of faith, and it's going to meet new needs, and it's going to address the inarticulate needs, and it's going to abolish old needs. So that way, by adding its values from faith in God, anything that comes to God must be done by faith. Of course, Hebrews 11 tells us that anything that is not done in faith, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because we know that anything that is not done in faith, the scripture goes on to say, is sin. The book of Colossians was written in two dynamics. It was to hit two churches at the same time. Paul had just addressed the church in Ephesus, and in while writing in the prisons of Rome, he remembered the Colossian church, who was distant, who was also connected with Laodicea, the church of Laodicea, and in articulating convictions to Colossians, he believed that that message would get to the church of Laodicea. So the message, in essence, was to the Laodiceans, the people of the Laodiceans, but it was also to affirm. And this particular document to the church articulates Christ's passion behind his authority, behind his redemptive work. And as we study tonight Colossians, I believe that you're going to get a greater appreciation for the role of Christ as the redemptive innovation. Now, listen, for this cause, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, and we'll be in Colossians for a few weeks, but for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. There that light goes to shed in our heart. Of course, we know that the light that was given by God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. So as we begin to indulge in finding out what it means to be led by the Holy Spirit, we will partake of this light. Let's keep reading. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? He hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now listen, verse 14 is key. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. So as we look at the role of redemption, we know that the ultimate form of redemption is the forgiveness of sin, which awakens us to the righteous conscience and empowers us to live out this Christian life by faith, which affords us the promise of the Spirit. And the Spirit is set to please God. And as we begin to understand the ways of the Spirit, we begin to understand the nature and the character of God. And that character affords us a union with God that makes us steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And perhaps if we awaken to that role that Christ played, we will have revelation from God, and we will be able to receive our redemptive rights. But if we don't take time to investigate why Christ did what he did, what was his inspiration for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame. Therefore, God so highly exalted him. And this is what Colossians opens up with. Colossians is labeled as the epistle, Ephesians is labeled as the epistle portraying the church of Christ, and Colossians is surely portrayed as exemplifying the Christ of the church. And so as we study the book of Colossians, we will see how Christ's role is much more, and Christ, of course, is indicative of the Spirit within the man Jesus. Christ is the Spirit within the man Jesus. So Christ is synonymous with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And as we begin to articulate more about the nature of Christ, we are really indulging into the gift and the precious reality of the Holy Spirit. So and of course we understand that the Holy Spirit's role is to enable the Christian to perform this Christian life in confidence. The confidence that we have is it reveals and leads and guides us into the truth. Here it says, look, in whom, Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. And it describes who he is, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. So he shows us new creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers. All things were created by him and for him, all things and for him. And he is the head before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. Who is the beginning? The church is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. So let's begin this study in the book of Colossians. Christ is our all in all. The failure of the Colossians was they did not hold fast to the Lord. The place of Christ holds in any religious teaching determines whether it is true or false. Some religious teachings of that day were challenging the authenticity and the authority of Christ. And so Paul wrote to this church to address that in our life with Christ, our life is hid with God. So the church's position in Christ is that in Colossians 2:2, we are united in Christ. In Colossians 2:10, we are complete in Christ. In Colossians 2:20, we are dead in Christ. In Romans 6:4, we are buried with Christ. But in Colossians chapter 3, we are risen with Christ. The letter begins with 12, like the 12 other letters toward the church in the letter division of the Bible. And the church was likely founded by Eupharis, a town in Colossae, about 100 miles east of Ephesus, and it was considered a Gentile Christian. So here again, the Gentiles were receiving. Philemon was a member. Paul kept close in touch with the people and was greatly beloved. And so Paul had some encounters with false teachers that took Christ off of the throne and denied his headship to the church to help them answer. And so in this particular letter, he emphasizes Christ's role. The Christian life need not a creed system of doctrine or certain kinds of worship, but a life that is the very nature of the Lord Jesus. And that nature awakens him being in all things. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, it shows his deity, which is the image of the invisible God, his creation. In 15 and 16, sovereign creator of the universe. In verse 18, his preeminence before all things, and in redemption he reconciles us through his blood in Colossians 1 through 22. Also, Colossians lets us know that he is the head of all things in Colossians 1:18 and Colossians 2:14 over all principalities and power. He is in his church. He is the head of the body in Colossians 1:18 and 2:19. He is the individual presence of Christian hope, Colossians 1:27. God has given Christ preeminence in all things, according to Colossians 1:18. So we dare not give him a lower place. And the innovation is not the promotions which God was giving him, but that the people would come into that oneness with him that he prayed in John 17, they would come into that knowledge and they would awaken to the new nature through his new creation, and then they will will receive that reconciliation that God had promoted in Christ. In Romans, we are justified in Christ. In 1 Corinthians, we are enriched in Christ. In 2 Corinthians, we are comforted in Christ. In Galatians, we are set free in Christ. In Ephesians, we are made alive in Christ. In Philippians, we are joyful in Christ. But in Colossians, we are complete in Christ. And the goal of the book was to address that Jesus wanted to bring fulfillment in your life. And if you would apply his hope, his essence, and take note that you would be complete in him, that you would be rooted in him, built up in him, you were grounded and settled, you would discover that all of those processes were working for our good. Now let's go to Galatians chapter 2, and we're in good time. Actually, let's back up and continue reading a little bit down here. And started Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, which was preached in every creature which was under heaven, wherefore I am Paul made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and be filled with which is behind the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore I am made a minister to the dispensation of God, which is given unto me for you to fulfill the word of God. Listen to this part. Even the mystery which has been hidden from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to the saints, in whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Anytime your relationship doesn't bring you into the core convictions which uphold it, your relationship is shallow and strained. The Lord is challenging us as believers to not externally love him based on his role, but to find out the reasons behind the matter. What made him innovative to do and to provide all that God had ordained for the world to be fulfilled in. Now, Nicodemus did not understand this. You know, Nicodemus came to Jesus and respected him as a teacher, but didn't know him as Lord. He was coming to find out questions which would demand a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And he tried to come into the consciousness of what it meant to be born again, but he was carnally minded, and carnal minds make you enmity against God. It makes you an enemy. It makes you hostile from receiving the insights which God would instinctively adapt. But it was not for that season and that time for an unbeliever to understand the ways of God, because the promise of the Spirit had not been fulfilled. God was awakening the conscience of Peter, maturing him for the day. Even though he would betray the Lord Jesus 3 times, it would come a time after that he would come back to his senses, and he would add and be that rock which Jesus had afforded him the revelation of who he really was, that would be birthed out, the birthing of the church. It is a value today to be the church of the living God. And the world has tried to minimize the role and the responsibilities and the rights. But the devil is a liar, in the words of Bishop Harry Jackson. And we are not going to allow any further the natures and the cares of this life and this world to rid the relevance of the church through the ridiculousness of religions that make God's word of none effect. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. And anybody that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is a joy. There is a joy, because we know that Colossians 2 open up says, I would that she knew what great conflict I have for you and the Laodiceans, for the as many that have not seen our faces in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding. Because there's a misunderstanding out here on why we do what we do. And there's still glory about being the church. But he goes on to say, and they have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be knitted and covered together, in love and unto all the riches and the assurance of understanding toward the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There is a wisdom and knowledge that comes from above that enlightens us as to the elevation behind our redemption. And it's not going to be ascertained through mental assent. It is not going to be ascertained through curious spiritual inquiry. It's going to be obtained through receiving the insight that can only come from above, from the endowment of the Holy Spirit that enables us to live the Christian life so that we can experience what it means to be one with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here he is writing to them, advancing the emphasis and the causes of the Lord Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Focus on his nature. Focus on what he has purposed for the present time. Now he begins to continue, and he says, "And I say this, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I would have you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and steadfastness of faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, even as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." One of the challenges of the world today, and even the church, is we refuse to be taught the word of God, which keeps us steadfast, unmovable, and abounding in the work of the Lord. And in the last days, the scripture says, many will have itching ears. And one of the divisions of the ministry gifts in the church is the teacher that is supposed to bring us to perfection in Christ so we can be enabled to do the work of the ministry and establish the unity of the faith. But because we are not studying to show ourselves approved and we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to unveil the righteousness and the truth, people are not innovative when it comes to the things of God, and we have a lot of people that have a zeal but not according to knowledge. And Colossians reminds us that the relationship you have with God is going to be awakened through the revelation of a knowledge of him that fulfills all things. And so if you reject knowledge, you will be destroyed. And my people are not destroyed because of a lack of spirit, but because of a lack of knowledge. And because they reject knowledge, the Bible says he even rejects the generations that come out of them. A lot of reasons why the church is in the state it's in is because of the rejected knowledge we have yet to receive from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, which is ready to teach us more than the dance and the holler. He wants to build in us character and the nature, his nature, so that we can be his children and be heirs according to the promise and joint heirs with him. In Romans, we are justified. In Corinthians, we are enriched. In 2 Corinthians, we are comforted. Galatians, we are free. Ephesians, we are made alive. Philippians, we are joyful. But in Colossians, we are complete. And God is calling us to be complete. And he's going to complete us by building downward, going to the roots of the issues in our life and presenting Jesus as the solution. He's then going to build us upward so we can be built with him by setting our minds on things above where he is seated. And then he's going to go inward so he can begin to present the fruits of the Spirit, which enables us to be hid in him. And then he's going to build us outward so we can walk in wisdom toward them that are without, according to Colossians 4. So God is calling for a deeper life. He's calling for a higher life. And that life is going to be birthed out of an inner life that is complete in him. And the book of Colossians challenges us to walk in this newness of life that is found in him. It tells us in chapter 2, verse 6, to walk in him. It tells us in verse 7 to be rooted in him. It tells us in verse 7 again to be built in him. And then it talks in verse 2, chapter verse 10, to be brought to perfection in him. And then it tells us we must, in verse 20 of chapter 2, die in him. And then once we die, if our life is hid with Christ, we are dead to sins of this world. We are dead to the cares of this life, and our life is hid with Christ in God. We are hidden then with him in chapter 3 and risen with him. Glory to God. And as we begin to take on this nature, as we begin to unfold this, we will see an innovation in society. We will be that light that is on the top of the hill that cannot be hid, letting our light so shine before men that they might see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. James reminds us that faith without works is dead. Faith without proof is faith. And if you can't deal with the cares of this life through your completeness in Christ, your relationship with God is incomplete. But anybody that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we need to find out why we do what we do and stand, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free. Well, I'm out of time, but I'm not out of content. We'll continue this particular study on redemptive innovation. But if you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 10 and 9 and 10 tells you that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Would you repeat after me? I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised Jesus from the dead. I thank God for the work that he did for me. Is that the beginning? No, that's just a confession. For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. But you must wait for the promise of the Spirit so that you can be sealed unto the day of the Spirit, of the day of redemption. So we pray that you would also call our prayer center and get in contact with one of the prayer warriors and tell them you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost with evidence. They will pray and you will receive that unction that causes you to know all things and to come into this fellowship of a knowledge that is higher than I. So we thank God for you listening to the broadcast. We have great things in store for this particular broadcast. Continue to listen. On Thursday, we'll be teaching, I'm sure, some other insights in the Word, praise the Lord. So just join us as we continue this redemptive study. I trust that whatever you set your hands to do, you will do, because greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for that which we have said, that which we have heard, that which we are learning. Father, I pray that the words would stick and engulf in the ears of the hearer, that someone would call upon your name and learn the reason why we believe. Help us, Father, to look deeper and to not be so shallow with you. But, Father, deep calleth unto deep. I draw the Spirit of God that is in the seed of the hearts of your children and call it forth to the light of your word. Father, I thank you for your glory. Begin to hovering over their lives that they would say, what must I do to know you better? Holy Spirit, I give you charge and access to work through the airways and to do what only you can do. Bring them nigh. Bring them from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Cause the hardest of your chosen to come and learn the ways of our God. Father, I thank you. I thank you for you're the teacher. You're the giver of our understanding by your Spirit. And we appreciate your Spirit being with us today. We appreciate your presence. And, Father, there may be some that have not received the sufficiency that is found in you. Being challenged with physical health, we come against every foul play of the enemy that would come and alter the peace that surpasses all understanding. And we charge your peace to take place in the promise of your children. Father, I thank you that your word has been spoken and you sent your word and healed your people. Send that bread, that manna from heaven to fulfill them with the substance of your divine will and presence and make them whole. And Father, you will only get all the praise, honor, and glory that is due your name. It is in Jesus' precious name that we pray and give you glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you for listening to tonight. God bless you. And good night.